For example, right along with the cyclothon. You see, and that has existed down throughout the ages. When Egypt and so forth was taking cataracts off of eyes and blowing glass bottles with gold foil between the two layers of glass, there were other nations still out there using stone and iron, and some of them hadn't even used iron yet. And even much later periods of time, still using stone. In fact, down in Africa, some places are still doing that. One of the things I was going to mention was when Walt Disney Studios went down filming the African lion in Tanganyika, Africa, they found tribes down there that have never seen white men. And the interesting thing is they found them with the old Hamitic religion, which included a religion of Baal. Long since gone, still worshiping Baal, down in Africa, and along with other aspects of the Hamitic religion. And what may be called by them the Stone Age, and trying to get back into evolution and not just assuming because they have no roots, may be early settlings of these people, using whatever, you know, they could throughout the land, you know, including stones and anything they could find. And so those may be what you might call late Stone Age and Iron Age and so forth. So these legends are difficult to know how many of them are true and to what extent they are true. They may be true with some other information even woven in with them. And I have a number of legends that a great number of legends that I have left off because they are uncertain. But they do show Israel, these legends, going into all these different nations. Also, the British Israel doctrine, and this is my opinion, and you're entitled to yours and I'm entitled to mine. My opinion, after much research, and they print out a book called Destiny, and they bind them in yearbooks, but that big, and hard books called Destiny. We've got about this many in our library. I read about that many more in downtown library, making about that many, waded through them, looking for all information on this. And I've read lots of the other materials from days gone by. We teach a class in Bible College on the different religious and denominational ideologies, and this is included in that. But in my judgment, the British Israel take a lot of scriptures that are definitely millennial and bring them in and force them back and make them to mean England at this time in history, and they don't fully fit. On the other hand, we recognize, people that understand how to interpret the Bible recognize that they're all first fulfillments, and then second fulfillments, long-term fulfillments, things that are fulfilled now, but not completely, that get fulfilled later. For example, when Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, it wasn't entirely fulfilled. The Spirit hadn't been put out upon all flesh, but it was the start of that which later would. And so, recognizing that, there can be some truth in some of those statements which are not fully developed and will not be fully fulfilled until the millennium. But I reject many of the interpretations of the scriptures that they do have. And another thing is, promises were made to Israel, and they take... See, Joseph was the main one, received the portion of the firstborn, the main one among the 12 tribes of Israel. He had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, called the house of Joseph. So he had a double inheritance. God said that Manasseh, who should have received the inheritance normally, would be great. God would keep him great when his father objected to him not being getting the firstborn blessing. But he said, Ephraim, the younger, shall be the greater. Now, British Israel say that Ephraim, that Britain is Ephraim. Not taking into consideration the tribes of Japheth that are there, or even some of the Hamites that are there, but that they're basically Ephraim. And it says that talks about the nations. They should become, you know, nations. They should be in the midst of the isles, and their Britain is in the isles. Even Manasseh, and also shall become great, and they became great. And then the scripture says they shall. How is it? Let me read it. Genesis 48:19. And his father said, I know it, my son, I know it. He, Ephraim, also shall become a people, and he shall be great. But his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So they have said Britain has become, more than any other nation, a multitude of nations. And since we know the 12 tribes went into England, and that would have included Ephraim as well, and Manasseh, that Ephraim, Britain has colonized the world, and the seed has gone all around, and they become great, and so Ephraim is, and Britain, Britain is Ephraim. Now my father takes dogmatic exception to that, and says absolutely no, the United States is Ephraim. And Britain is Ephraim, yes, and Britain is Manasseh. But you see, because at this time in history, it says the United States is much greater than England, has become greater than England has ever become. And the scripture says Ephraim shall become greater than Manasseh. So he said, how can you take Britain and call it that which has become the greatest? It hasn't. But according to the British Israelite, you see, they developed this interpretation back when England was greater than America, when we became just small colonies. And when England reached out into all the colonies, they had a great, you know, they were a great seagoing power. When they scattered abroad on the world more than any other nation, it looked like they fulfilled what the King James Bible says, and their seed becoming a multitude of nations. And it also looked like they were greater than Manasseh, which they called the United States. But now, the United States has become greater. And so I asked my father, I said, how do you interpret that scripture that, the last part of the verse, United States, becomes the seed, you know, going to all the nations? And he said, well, the King James is not the accurate rendering of the Hebrew. Rotherham, for example, translates it, a filling up of the nations. They are a filling up of the nations filling them up. And Young says, it is the fullness of the nations. They are the fullness of the nations. The United States is a melting pot of all nations like no nation in the world has ever been. And so it is the filling up of the nations and is greater than Ephraim or Manasseh. There's also another alternate reading in Hebrew, or shall be the calling of the nations, the one that becomes the greatest and calls all the other nations, and the United States has fulfilled either reading. And so while it doesn't fit the King James as well, it fits these other alternate readings, or these readings that appear to be more accurate to the Hebrew. And I'll have to admit that it makes more sense scripturally. At this point of time, we can see that England cannot be Ephraim. They would have to be Manasseh. If they're one or the other. Now, the greatest blessing was to Ephraim and Manasseh. And the British, the Anglo-Saxon tongue, and the Anglo-Saxon people have brought the gospel more than all the other nations combined to all over the world. It's Britain, which has the vast colonies in America, that's put out to the American Bible Societies, and with these other nations more than any others, and then the United Bible Societies as well, coming from Scandinavia and Denmark and so forth. Of course, Ephraim and Manasseh would be there as well, and there'll be other tribes in England and the United States as well, but being the larger part, that's a theory. You can do what you want with it. Now, the 10 lost tribes went into all Europe. And then they went from there into the colonies. Let's just look at the colonies a minute. Take the colonies of Britain. What were the colonies of Britain? They went in and colonized India. And then Australia. Two fantastic nations there. One of them even being a continent. And then Canada. How large that is. And then 40% of Africa. The time you got that, you've got a big hunk of the globe. Half of Borneo, parts of Malaysia, most of the South Sea Islands, British Guinea in South America, and then, of course, the American colonies that have spanned into entire America, which then went to the Cuba and the Philippines, and then some of the Caribbean islands. And the French have colonized about 40% of Africa, including Madagascar, French Indochina, French Guinea in South America, and some of the Caribbean. The Spanish, which also had the Shemitic language from the lost tribes of Israel went into Spain. They became the Iberians. Rio de Oro in Africa, on the west coast, parts of the Caribbean, Mexico, Florida, the United States, Central America, and much of South America. That takes in most of the rest. And then Portuguese, which is akin to Spanish, parts of Africa, the Canary Islands and other islands off of Africa, and Portuguese Guinea in South America. And then the Italians, which of course were Japheth, but Israel also came down into Italy as well, so the mix, so both went out together, into Ethiopia and Libya in North in Africa. And then the Dutch, which from which the Angles came, and which had a lot part of Israel, Dutch Guinea, parts of Africa, Sumatra, Borneo, half of Java, half of New Guinea, and many other parts of the South Sea Islands. Well, what's left? Only China and Japan, which is made up partly of Shem and partly of Japheth, with some pieces of Ham in it, and Russia, but West Russia is partly from Israel, Persia, that's partly from Shem, Arabia, which is from Shem through Ishmael, which drove out the Hamites in early times, Egypt, which many Jews went into Egypt, so they even infiltrated in there, although Egypt is from Ham, South America, which has got much Shemites from Europe, much of European stock in the South America, speaking everything from German, Spanish, Dutch, you know, Portuguese, a lot of different languages. And then Mexico, and Mexico also has much of Shem in it from Spain. Note, you may want to correct, you said Genesis 48:19, he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, as being Ephraim, when you should have said Manasseh. Yes, Manasseh. Manasseh also shall become a people, and he also shall become great, but he shall serve his younger brother, Ephraim, what I meant to say. Okay, thank you. I've asked my wife, sometimes she'll say, honey, you got your tongue twisted, and you said this instead of this. I didn't even know it. And I say, please tell me when I make the mistake, not later, so I can correct it. As you know, I listened to a tape from somebody else the other day, and he's talking about Abraham in the Garden of Eden. But then the next step when he made, he said Adam. See, he didn't even know he made it. And you do a lot of talking, especially if you're nervous, you're trying to get ahead. Sometimes you say something and you don't mean that at all, you mean the other. And sometimes I get home and I get very embarrassed to hear what I actually said. And so we see that the 12 tribes of Israel have scattered their people over the entire globe. Now, it's true that in South America, North America, Asia, Africa, here are all these people. Some of them, they're a mixture, see, they're in blood, and in genealogy, they're a mixture of two or three of these original progenitors, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. But every single individual, each individual, I should say, is either the seed of Ham, or of Shem, or of Japheth. So there are seeds of Japheth all down there, but there's also seeds of Shem. And if Shem receives the gospel, of course Japheth can too, they are propagating that. And because they're there, God is bringing his light and is still honoring and blessing them to build colonies and so forth. And that's why they become colonists. That's why have they gone to other lands and got all the wealth and built all these things? Why didn't the Hamites do it when they were there? They didn't know how. They didn't have the ability. God gave it to these, for Israel. They had the ability. That's why they built what they built. The others, they had thousands of years to do it and did nothing and got them, found them still living like they were living in the Dark Ages. I mean, like they were very primitive, like they knew nothing. And in fact, their cultures became less. The early Hamitic culture in Africa was a much more, according to archaeological sources, was a much more advanced civilization than it became later. It fell. It didn't come up. It fell down. It was a great power once upon a time. The Hamitic race in Africa was a mighty power to be reckoned with. But they lost light because they began to lose. We're not walking with God. And so, just like, you know, Nicholas Ben Gu, who they call the Black Billy Graham of Africa, a man filled with the Holy Ghost who really preached on the anointing, was in a plane, and they began to have, when the engines began to act up, You know, it's to everybody else's advantage on that plane that he's sitting there. That's right. William Branham was on a plane when the old propellers began to go vroom, 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 vroom. And he began praying to the Lord. It's the advantage that he's on that plane because God's interested in him. It's the advantage of Ham and Japheth, if Shem is there. Not that God's gospel won't reach to everyone equally, but there has been, because they're there, he's blessing them nationally. And blessing them nationally give them ability to, if they get the light, to bring the gospel. And that's the point I'm making. It's because they have had the money and the light and the ability, the printing presses, the whole works, that have given them abilities. And God is still has decided to send light to his people at the end of time, and we're seeing that. Now, I think I'm... better start tapering off here. I'm not finished. I want to talk a bit about... I haven't really described to you yet, you know, individuals of the Netherlands, Norway, and Germany as they have influence, a basic influence, other than the Anglo-Saxon, or I should say, pardon me, the Israelitish. I haven't really described them down to the Celts and so forth, and I have quite a writing on the Celts that tell you who they come from. Interesting enough, in the encyclopedia that I have, and when it talks about the Celts, it goes down and it superimposes on what I told you already. It talks about them going down into Greece, going down into Italy, tells them about how he went up to Gaul and to Iberia and up into Scandinavia. It follows the tracks and gives you the same detail and takes them all back to the Black Sea. And then Sweden went into Russia, into the western part of Russia, and made big colonies in Russia. And a lot of Russian words often are Swedish, now Swedish origin. And they have Israelite brought into there. And what I see in the study of this is that those areas of Israel that went into those nations, they became powerful. I mean, they drove the Romans back, they drove the Russians back, they drove Japheth back. Every place they went. They became very strong. They went down and took over large areas in Thrace, which is Macedonia or Greece, and they pushed down into clear down into Rome. Rome finally drove them back, but they kept the northern part of Italy. I mean, they became large, very large tribes and nations and kingdoms and peoples. They weren't just some little scattering some people up there. They became a force that over and over again drove back major areas of Japheth that were there. And I can only say again because God's hand was on them. Just like when Rome went up against the Scythians. When Rome went up against the Scythians, Rome took the world except the Scythians. And the Scythians, apart from the rest of Russia, were from Israel. And they could not defeat the Scythians. The Scythians told them. And they had no towns to burn. I mean, they had no kingdom to take over. They kept backtracking and giving them time. They kept getting Scythian arrows all the time. And they couldn't... They rode on horseback and shot arrows, and they gave them a terrible time. Finally, the Roman army sneaked out in the middle of the night, limped back home, like a dog with his tail between his legs, and left a lot of them there, and cities burning, and all the stuff. They lost the war. Same thing happened with Alexander the Great. He conquered all the nations of the world, put up the Indus River in India, but when he went against the Scythians, he had trouble. And he was not able to overcome them. And they remained up there regardless of Rome, and regardless of... regardless of Alexander the Great, and if you look at the maps of the Roman Empire and the Grecian Empire, it does not include that section. And also, you know, the Goths, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, all these others, they were from Israel. They drove down these Germanic tribes that drove, and of course they may have had a lot of Japheth with them, but drove Rome back down again. And Rome came close into Germany, and they drove them back out of the land. And they had some defeats themselves at times, but it looked like that somebody was for them, keeping them alive and keeping them from being exterminated, because God said in the very last days that when Jesus Christ comes again, now all those in spiritual Israel in this time have an ability and a right to be spiritual Israel, whether of Ham, Shem, or Japheth. If we walk with God and follow His commandments, shall be part of the great out translation. And those that don't are going to give their life in the tribulation. That's my understanding of biblical theology after much study. But when we come down to the Battle of Armageddon, and we come down to the second coming of Christ, and it ushers in the millennial kingdom, God has promised that just before the millennium, in the tribulation period, He has first fruits of Israel all Israel, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, making up the 144,000, which love Jesus. They come into the revelation. And then after Judah accepts Jesus Christ, when they look upon him upon Mount Olives, when he comes back, when they're in trouble, and he shall save the tents of Judah first, and then the scripture says they shall bring in Israel, and God will bring them in from all the nations of the earth. He'll hiss after them and bring them back to their own land, the land of the fathers. And he tells you in many Old Testament scriptures that Israel shall be the chief among the millennial earth, under those who are out-translated that rule with Christ over and on the earth, and over the earth as the case may be. They are the chief ones on this earth of those that remain. And so God is saving them. Just like Israel has come back now and become a nation in 1946, it's for a purpose. God has allowed it. They are not his people. They're wailing at the wailing wall, and God is not hearing them. They shall speak, and I will not hear, he says. And they are not having the blessing of God, but nationally he's protecting them there. That's why they won that Syria and Egypt in 5 days, in a blitzkrieg war. God's put them there. They're getting close to the time he's going to redeem them. And he's not going to do it until they cry out between the porch and the altar. The priest dons sackcloth and ashes. And they call everybody for a national repentance, because the northern nations, Magog, Russia, and Gomorrah, Germany, come down with Togarmah, Turkey, and they come down with Lydia, with the Middle East, and Ethiopia, and the kings of the East come across, and they all come down against Israel, and the world has been torn up by the plagues, and that land is blossoming like a rose. God's hand is upon it. They come down, and when they get half of Jerusalem's taken, the people shall go into captivity, the women ravished, and then they cry out unto God, and when they do, he puts a hook in the northern, in the jaw of the northern army, and turns them back, and they fall upon the nations of Israel, and then he says, from this day forward, I will be their God, and from this day forward, they shall be my people. And all nations shall know they went into captivity, for they have forsaken me. And so God has put them there with national blessings. Spiritual blessings are for anyone who will, whosoever the Lord may come. Now, I'll close with saying this. I don't know if I'll continue next week or not. Maybe I'll try to close up and finish right now, which means I'm omitting a lot of data, but you've got the essential data. Japan is a mixture of Ainu, Caucasian, from Japheth. Now, we're not... Japan and China, this gets very obscure. It's very difficult to know in the Americas, but I cannot be dogmatic with any of this information, but apparently and possibly, they're a mixture of Ainu, Caucasian from Japheth, Chinese, Mongols, and Koreans from Japheth plus Shem, and the Malaysian people, which are Indonesians from the Yunnan River in China plus the Mongols, making Japheth plus Shem plus Ham. So Japan is Japheth, Japheth plus Shem, and Japheth plus Shem plus Ham. China, they have come from the Tigris-Euphrates Valley with a Sumerian culture from Shem, and from Central Asia, Japheth. Ham also migrated to the Tigris-Euphrates Valley, and some of them went east, and they became slaves from all over, from Africa into that area as well, and also from India, Shem plus Ham plus Japheth, and India is also Ham plus Japheth, and it's also Japheth. And so Australia, they came down from Indonesia, they came down from or through Indonesia, down those islands into Australia, and of course, Shem went down there as well, and then from Britain, of course, they went out, and Shem landed there on ships. And the American Indian, we have the Hamitic Iberian on the west coast, that's Hamite Spanish, the early Aryan in the Rocky Mountains, the Comanche Indians, the late Aryan in the central area, becoming like the Pawnee, and also on the east coast, the Mongolian in the central and southeast of the country. And interesting enough, the maps show that except for South, Central America, which is different, Mexico, which is different, South America has pretty much the same strains, West Coast, Central, and East Coast, excepting for a spot on the west east coast of Brazil that's got a huge Hamitic settlement. With that, I close this interesting or boring session, whichever it is. I trust that you have learned something, and you have a better understanding of the lost tribes of Israel and of the nations. We would like the ushers to come forward this time, take the morning offering, and we would also like, now music ministry, you're being called.